Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to DweebCon. Yeah. Thank you all for coming. And we're going to get started in a second. One thing we just want to let you know is that we don't care if you're loud, you're laughing, you throw things. We don't care. If you throw anything, aim it toward Chuck. Brandy is going to give you some very important information about the events this weekend, and then we'll get started.
I'm not really going to do that. So, like at all, but so we do want to thank Leanne and Kate and Anon and all of the great people that helped us pull this together. We really appreciate what you guys have done for us. We appreciate you all being here. This is completely, ridiculously amazing. Just a little thing. So this story is not something we would normally do. It's kind of, it's dark.
It's pretty goddamn dark, yeah.
It is. And so we're gonna do the best we can with it. But it's very dark, so just kind of bear with us and we'll get out of it what we can. There is a thing, 8 o'clock tonight, everybody's gonna meet up at the Rook. If you weren't there last year, the Rook's a really cool little bar that's got all kinds of board games and stuff. I don't think we got into a game of Clue last year, but you know, the day's young, we might.
We have Twister tonight.
Do we have Twister?
Yeah.
Sweet, okay.
Naked Twister.
No, that's not naked. Not Naked Twister. Is there anything else that I need to announce?
Yes, the walking tour.
I said that.
Okay, I wasn't paying attention.
Of course you weren't. But again, there's a walking tour later. Okay, look, here.
We ain't here to raise you, goddammit. We put the thing
out. We put it online. Leanne, what's going on with the walking tour?
The walking tour is at 4:30 after here. We'll just meet out the front and get there. It's in Fountain Square.
She is not from here.
And that sounded fancy.
She does not sound like she's from here.
She's fancy.
She's so fancy.
She says vitamins. I don't like that.
Vitamins?
Yeah, vitamins. Eat your, take your vitamins.
I don't
like that.
I'm sorry.
Should be vitamins.
Do you want me to hit her with something? I haven't even introduced you yet. Yeah, so, and like Tim said, you know, be loud, be crass, we don't care. We're all just here to have good time. So are you ready to get this going?
Yes, Ali Field, come on. You ain't won a damn Oscar now, sit down.
Norma Ray. You do not know my life. All right.
Hey, so we're just going to do this like we normally do it, the intros. And I hate to tell you how we're recording. You want to tell them how we're recording this?
It's a sound engineer's wet dream is what we have up here. So that's all you need to know about it. When you hear it, the quality will be fine. Don't you worry about it.
His iPhone's taped to a pole by the speaker.
It's recording. We spare no expense. Very well prepared. Okay,
it's
so
amazing, really.
Welcome to History Dweebs Live. DweebCon, the Wrath of Brandy. I don't know why we did any of that.
You named it that.
I know. We're going to go through this script is pretty dark story, as Brandy said. It is recommended by Leanne, so let's give her some applause. Woo! And it was actually written by Jason Dyke. So thank you, Jason. Before we get started, though, let me introduce my co-hosts. I am joined to my right by the lady who's known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy?
Thank you. I'm good. I'm a little hungover, so if instead of applause we could just do jazz hands, that'd be fucking perfect.
But so you drank last night?
I did drink a little bit. But I don't normally get to go out of my house, so this is a big deal. So I'm great.
So you're away from young Noah.
I'm away from all of the dicks in my house. So, yay! And I've got you dicks here, so it doesn't really matter.
Okay, is that enough brandy time?
Plenty of brandy.
Okay.
2 minutes, too much of brandy time.
Of course it is.
Then let me introduce the man to my left. He has been described as what have you been described as? An oasis.
An oasis, Timmy.
In the desert of despair. The moral compass of our podcast.
Nope.
The very honorable, the reverend.
The Yoda of podcasting.
The Yoda of podcasting. Colonel Charles Beauregard, Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Settle down.
I'm not good, Timmy.
Oh, wait, he's not good.
I'm not good.
What's wrong, Colonel?
Well, I came down here to DweebCon, Timmy, and I thought I'd meet some of our listeners, and I went down to the Millennium, and what I saw was debauchery. Debauchery. And you know who you are. I don't need to call you by your name. I don't need to call you out, Anon.
Yeah,
I don't need to. You devil, I
what?
Seen you.
You saw
I seen
nothing.
You. You
Dude,
made. You were too
you
close to what looked
shit.
Like a hobo.
Well, yeah. She wanted money from me.
So, Alex, yeah, Alex, she was. What I want to know is what causes so much pain that makes you people turn to that devil juice? Okay, now.
He's,
I do this podcast, but there's another page, and it is the what is it to me? The First Church of the Latter-day Colonel.
Yeah,
and
you
if you
ever,
go to that Facebook page, you will find some information that will change your lives. Because I know it's pain causing you to drink. You don't have enough Colonel in your life. That's what you need. I can fix you. Just trust me, I'll fix you.
I have more than enough kernel in my life, and maybe that's why I drink.
Well, you were drinking a lot.
I
just wanted y'all to know I am so happy that you're here, but you disappointed me. Okay?
Will there be some laying on of the hands tonight?
They're going to have to be. I had to stop and get extra oil for all these heathens here.
I feel like there was laying on of the hands last night. Amongst.
Not around me.
All right.
I was drinking water all night, like you people should have been.
All right, let's get in. The topic for the podcast is the Ant Hill Kids cult. We're going to discuss a cult because you fuckers are sick and you like cults. So
I love cults.
I know. Well, hey, you're in the right place then. And like I say, Jason wrote this script, and he found all the most fucked up names that's hard to pronounce. So we're going to try to get through this.
I'd like to see his Google searches come up with this shit.
So would the FBI.
Well, they probably already got him.
All right, Colonel Rock Throt.
It's a stupid name.
Rock?
Rock Throt. You like that name?
That's a good name.
It's a dumb name.
I'm reading ahead. This is a Canadian.
Yes.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Why are we doing a Canadian?
Rock the Rot was a Canadian cult leader, Colonel, who led the cult called the Ant Hill Kids between 1977 and 1989. What were you doing during those years, Frank?
I don't know.
Probably drugs.
Doesn't that
Probably.
Sound like a
drugs.
Boy band?
What?
A boy band, the yeah. Ant Hill Kids?
No.
Nick Lachey was in
there. Yeah, he was in there.
No.
No. Rock maintained multiple wives, Colonel. Your thoughts on that?
That can't be easy, Tim. That cannot be easy.
His followers, including, he had 22 adults and 20, or I'm sorry, 12 adults and 22 children following him, Colonel.
The children's even harder, Tim.
They lived under his totalitarian rule.
Well, if you're going to have that many wives, you got to be a totalitarian. You got to get them toe the line, devil.
Yes. Spit that word out again.
Totalitarian.
Now, his members, Brandy.
His member.
We're subject to physical and sexual abuse. Your thoughts on that?
Really?
Yeah.
I have.
That's going to be a hard no to me.
Okay. Yes. Rock was arrested for assault in 1989 and convicted of murder in 1993 for the death of Solange. He's fucked up names. Solange Bullard. He received it.
Boy, you are.
All right.
In fairness, we've seen you fuck up John Smith before.
Well,
so.
Yeah, but these names are really, all of them, are just, wait till I get to his family. He received a license, which he served in prison and in penitentiary. He got out.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, it's not really a life sentence if you get out, is it?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You should read that last sentence there because it's kind of clutch.
Oh, he was serving a life sentence when he was murdered. Murdered in 2011. Well, we would have got to it. Yeah. Just worry about you. And what says Brandy?
I can't.
All right. So, Brandy, you're probably thinking, well, Tim, tell me about his early life.
I was totally thinking that.
All right. Rock Thorat was born on May 16, 1947. In some place, Quebec, Canada.
Malachi, did you ever wrestle a guy named Rock the Rot?
Oh, no.
No? I wouldn't want to mess with him either, but... Sound like
the
a
rock.
Wrestler. Rock the Rot.
The Rock.
Sounds like a newscaster.
He was...
yeah. I had nice hair.
Coming up at 11.
Nice hair.
Lots of product.
Come on.
All right, he was in Quebec, Canada. He was born. Family headed by his... fucking weird name parents. Hyacinthia.
Nope, that's not. It's Hyacinth.
All right, it sucks. That name. Who names our kid Hyacinth?
Her mom.
Is it his mom or is it his dad?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he had two moms that look. They look like girls.
All right,
Hyacinth.
And Pierre. What is it, Jason? Is that the
Pierrette?
Pierrette. Is that the woman or is that mom or is that dad? Okay, of course.
No,
the Dale was Hyacinth.
Hyacinth, okay.
Because he denied beating the boy.
That's sad.
Details, Brandy, about his childhood are sketchy. Mm. What is agreed upon, I guess they got together and agreed upon this, is that Rock was bright, outgoing, and seemed to enjoy learning. Much like yourself, Colonel.
That's how my parents would describe me if they were alive to me.
Yeah.
But they're
God
dead.
God rest their soul.
But they're dead.
Yeah,
still,
God rest us.
Nobody cares.
Seems unkind. That's why people don't like you. That's why people don't like you.
I've heard. Your
so you get to see
dead.
This in person. What you see, you get to see the mean, the ugly side of her in person now.
Yeah. Mm. She's dead.
He has a tattoo.
He has a tattoo for her because she's dead.
If any of y'all die, let us know.
Chuck will get a stupid tattoo for you.
All right.
Can we move on? I'm getting sad.
All that?
Because your mom's dead?
Well, I mean, this has already got me depressed.
Yeah, after that death's door, man. I was...
Yeah, we got death's door and this, and it's not been a happy day.
Although Rock would later described his father as abusive, his father, Hyacinth, denies ever having beaten a boy, Colonel.
Denied to me.
In his youth, Rock himself never complained about his home situation, Brandy. What's your thoughts on that?
Okay.
His dad whooped his ass if he did.
Right. Hyacinth.
What are you going to say?
Hyacinth sounds like a badass.
Nah.
You don't want to run into Hyacinth on the street.
No.
On November the 11th, 1967, which was probably right around Veterans Day, Colonel.
It would be on Veterans Day.
Yeah, but not in Canada.
No. They don't appreciate.
At the age of 20.
Do they even have a military in Canada? They got like two guys on horseback or some shit up there.
Yeah, Dudley Do-Right.
Do they even have
guns? Dudley Do-Right is the only guy in Canada.
They don't even have guns in Canada. They can't have an army.
On November 11, 1967, at the age of 20, Rock married young Francine. What do you think about that, Brandy? Getting married at 20.
Well, that was dumb, but good for him.
They moved to Montreal, where they got all these fucked up French names. And she bore two sons in 3 years. Ugh. Rock Jr. and Francois.
She didn't bore him all the time. Sometimes she entertained him.
Really? Really?
I don't know how you're going,
but Brandy, you have went through childbirth.
Yeah.
Colonel,
it ain't like a kidney stone, I'll tell you that.
You know, you've mentioned before the trauma of childbirth and how painful it is, and you haven't convinced
What ain't like having your gallbladder out? It ain't like having a kidney stone.
I've had all of those things.
And
or
it
migraine.
Is not like.
Or migraine.
Have you ever had a testicular torsion?
No, I can't.
Anybody out there?
Where's Nick at?
Somebody's had one. It ain't fun.
All right, so he gets married. They have two kids. During this time, Rock developed severe ulcers, Brandy, and had them surgically removed, which, you know, I don't know why that's really all important, but he became obsessed with medicine, kind of like young Noah.
Great. So this is what I have, all right.
Teaching himself about the anatomy. And, Colonel, you're very familiar with the anatomy of a female.
Certain parts, yeah. Certain parts.
Well, explain to us how it all works. Tell us, break it down for us.
I don't know. This crowd's already too debauched, Timmy.
Yeah, but break it down for us, because people love it when you describe the female anatomy.
Well, you got the top half and the lower half, Timmy. The top half is not nearly as tingly as the lower half.
Okay.
That's all you really need to know. Except, after 40, the bottom half starts to change a little bit. That's all.
What happens?
Yeah. No. Wait for it.
Yeah, usually we're alone when I talk about this, so I don't have such a hostile audience, so.
Okay, so you prefer not to discuss it right now. Is that what you're telling me?
Right, not the post-penis. Post-40 penis.
Worse. Come on.
All right, Rock eventually moved his family to Thetford Mines and begin woodworking. Brandy, have you ever done any woodworking?
Last night she was that close to me.
Not, no.
She was one tequila away last night.
No. That's not your concern.
I just like it when you're open and, you know, share. He also took to drinking heavily, Colonel, to deal with pain. And he damaged his digestive system.
It's the pain that causes you to drink, Timmy. That's what's going on out here. Pain, Timmy. Pain and suffering.
Rock used his amateur woodworking cells as an excuse to go to Quebec, Brandy.
When he says cells, he means sales.
Sales? Yeah.
Yeah.
On weekends to carry on sexual romps with women. What are your thoughts on that?
So wait a minute. He's using his wooden bowl sales thing to go have sex with women.
Oh, wooden bowls is a panty dropper. If you made them yourself. Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Eventually, he had some financial problems, Brandy.
I see. I don't know that he was selling very much.
The Tupperware person came and just took all his business.
His wife, Francine, left him, and Rock took up with a woman in Quebec named Giselle.
Yes.
That's a common name in Quebec.
Well, and I don't think anything good comes from that name. Yeah, nothing.
In the mid-1970s, Colonel, Rock discovered the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
I like those people, Timmy.
He met in a local... They met in a local motel every Saturday.
Yeah, well, see? Because that's what they do. You know what they ain't doing on Saturday, Timmy?
What?
Knocking on my door with a pamphlet. Because these people are Seventh-day Adventists. They don't work on Saturday, dude. Yeah. They just meet. They don't go out.
You have to come to them. That's a better deal.
Now, your people do that, too. They go out and knock on doors.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Yes, my people do that. But not on Sunday.
Not on Sunday? But they do it on Saturday when you're trying to cut the grass.
I understand.
I know.
I can't help it.
And then you got to give them a dollar and take the pamphlet.
Actually, if you're smart, you have them cut your grass.
They will do that?
Yes. Dumbass. Just ask them. Throw some water at them. Ask them to cut the grass, do the flower beds. They'll do all that shit.
Damn.
I know. See?
Rock began following all their nutritional rules and quit drinking.
Why
I didn't know that.
Why are there nutritional rules?
I don't know.
You can't eat certain foods.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
that's
for
what
clearing up the
rules
nutritional
are.
Rule thing yeah. for me.
Like sheep, you can't have those because they're the symbol of something, higher powers.
Oh, so what you're saying is you don't know what the
you
fuck you're talking
no.
about. That's what the fuck you're
okay,
saying.
Okay, let me ask you this. Can they eat sheep?
How the fuck would I know if they
exactly,
can eat sheep?
Exactly, but you're telling me I'm wrong.
Don't make me fucking
yeah.
Google it.
Yeah, they can't eat sheep, goddammit. I know like three or four of them.
He is a reverend.
They can't eat sausage, they can't eat sheep.
He's a licensed reverend.
Mm-hmm.
So am I. And he doesn't
I believe
know
him.
Shit from sheep over there. Good form. You lost your place, didn't
I
you?
Absolutely lost my place. Thank you, Colonel. So he quit drinking. His childhood fascination with the Old Testament. I mean, don't we all really have a fascination with the Old Testament?
Mm-hmm.
He really got into, you know, the man being the center of the universe and the women obeying men and things like that.
Now, see, I can get on board with that, then.
Yeah.
That's God something
speed.
I can get on board
with. Let me tell you something. When you're not actually a kept man, then maybe that'll work out.
And we're getting into the Book of Revelation here.
Yeah, he became obsessed with the Book of Revelations.
You never have too much of that.
And its message of violent retribution for sin, Colonel.
You hear that? Violent retribution. Violent. Clean yourselves up.
And the division of humanity into the chosen and the damned. Now, how would you describe this audience? If you had to categorize them between the chosen and the damned.
Yeah, I'm going to need like, damned. Damned. Yeah. You could have a bunch of a whole studio full of nuns. Put her in there. They're all down.
Who are you pointing at? Karen?
No. That little short-haired demon in the back.
Oh, damn. Oh, okay. Dominique. All right. So. What? Please, I'm trying to be professional.
Sure you are.
To make money, Rock began selling literature to the church and leading workshops, Brandy, aimed at helping smokers to quit to kick their habit. What do you think about that?
Fuck them.
Yeah!
I don't know why you should encourage people to smoke. I think it's a good thing.
I don't think you should judge them for
well,
it.
Well, he's helping these people, but we're having leading workshops.
Well, and who's... I want to know who's buying this literature.
Well,
like, they can't even give it away. Who's going to buy it?
People who want to quit smoking, I guess. Canadians.
All right, go ahead.
By 1977, he had amassed a group of followers, Brandy, in their early 20s. And there's a bunch of names that I'm not going to go through because they're not important.
Are they clutched to the story? Because I feel like they might be.
All right. There is Solange.
Oh, yeah, you have to go through every single one of these names.
Actually, not.
Chantel. Is that right?
Yeah, say the last name.
Oh, Labrie. Labrie. Francine. Nicole. Marcy.
Where the fuck's Marcy?
Who the fuck's
Marcy?
Wait a minute, I saw it here somewhere. Oh, right here. Marseille? I don't know.
Maurice.
Maurice.
It's close enough. Jose? Jock.
Which one of these does
and
not
Claude.
Fit?
And Claude Omelette.
His name's not Claude Omelette.
Looks like it.
Okay.
I told you, it's a bunch of names. In 1977, Rock and his followers, they attended a retreat for the church. Well, Gabrielle Lavere and Yolanda joined his commune. Now, Colonel, I know you've had a commune before.
I have had a commune before. But I could say their names.
Look.
I just gave them numbers if that shit got that complicated. I just gave them jerseys with different numbers, Kenny. This shit's too hard right here.
Under Rock's leadership, the Ant Hill Kids, and you know how they got that name, Brandy?
Oh, please tell me.
They worked like little ants. They worked hard.
Amazing.
Yeah. The group...
they was the hardest working kids in the cult business, Timmy.
They been the James,
was the James Brown gang. The cult kids, yeah.
Good guy. The group was based primarily on the Old Testament, on Old Testament themes, and such as women, Colonel, should be obedient to men.
I'm all right with that one.
Polygamy?
I don't want to have... I can... Why would you want to have two women disappointed in you all the time? That's all you're going to have.
But you have so many more, I wouldn't guess it would matter.
No, I mean, that's...
You a lot.
You walk through the door and it just got the... Well, never mind.
They believed in harsh punishments?
I'm down with that.
The righteousness of their leader?
Oh, hell yeah.
And the sinfulness of their followers?
Think about that.
Rock, Brandy, claimed to be the reincarnation of the prophet Moses, and the church they went down with that, so they kicked him out. We didn't get that, the Advent, Seventh-day Advent.
Okay, hold on for 1 minute here, Timmy.
All right.
Now, do we have any Adventists in the crowd? Any? Because they're pretty goddamn crazy, Tim. I mean, they push the envelope.
Okay.
So if you're so goddamn crazy that you're getting kicked out of there, you got to be just off the edge crazy, Timmy.
Well, Rock,
this is a guy that got kicked out of a cult. He was too crazy for a cult.
I don't think that's a cult.
Oh, it's a cult.
Mm. Like, your thoughts, Brandy?
I'm just letting it play out.
Okay. Yes.
The Seventh-day Adventists, that's when David Koresh came out.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, they're a cult, Timmy. They could have 5,000. It doesn't mean they're not a cult.
Hey, someone escort her out of here.
Yeah, security. Security. When we said interactive, we only meant a certain few.
Chicago all over again.
Yeah.
So, wait a minute. So what happens if you get over 5,000 members?
All of a sudden, you're legit? You get like a certificate of authenticity or something? Is
get
it what?
Business cards.
Is it really? That's crazy.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Shit, I got 2,000 now. It's still cold.
All right. So he gets kicked out. Moses, Rock Moses,
yeah,
gets kicked out.
Moses out. Send him to the desert.
So he moved to St. Marie, which was just south of Quebec City. Have you ever been to Quebec City, Colonel?
I have, Timmy.
Did you find it?
I've been there.
How did you find it?
Found it to be cold and for Canadians, Timmy.
All right.
Imagine that shit.
Yeah.
Brandy, yep. While they were in St. Marie, they opened a healthy living clinic. And we thought they were doing alternative medicine, and they sold organic foods, and they helped cure ailments.
Ailments.
What do you think about that?
It's a bunch of hippies selling weeds.
In March of 1978, leukemia patient.
You can't say.
Geraldine Eclair was admitted to the Healthy Living Clinic. I'm guessing this is not going to end well.
I feel like it's a little late for her.
Oh, ye of little faith, Timmy.
She had been undergoing treatment. When her husband fell in with Rock, who convinced him to have Geraldine check out of the hospital and into the Healthy Living Clinic. Rock's treatment for leukemia was grape juice and organic foods. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Tell me what happened next, Timmy.
Geraldine died at the clinic. Rock told his followers that he had gone into a room and kissed her, and she awakened from death. But in the end, you know, when God wants people, he takes them. That's a direct quote.
Timmy,
yes?
You know, I have a story.
Okay.
About when God wants people, he takes them.
Yes.
Please tell
My
us all about it.
My mother worked with a woman.
God rest her soul.
God rest his soul. And a woman was going to Paris, and she was very, because my mom was a, you know, blue-collar worker. And,
mm-hmm.
and the woman was really braggy about this, about going to Paris. And my mother calls me up, and my mother was not always right. And she called me up, and she was laughing hysterically to tell me how the lady, Pearl, went to Paris. And I said, well, what happened on the trip? And my mom's still laughing. She can't even get it out. But apparently Pearl's husband, Timmy,
mm-hmm.
was standing at an intersection
mm-hmm.
in Paris
mm-hmm.
and had a stroke.
Okay.
Okay? It's an unfortunate thing, a stroke.
Yeah, it is.
It is more unfortunate when you have a stroke right as a Fiat is coming upon you, Timmy. So he fell into the intersection. The Fiat rolled over the top of him. They don't know if the stroke or the Fiat killed him. That's a true story, Timmy. That just goes to show when your number's up, your number's up, Timmy.
Yeah, what's the point of this story?
Well, because he could have lived through the stroke. So his number was up. He got the stroke, and it didn't kill him.
Did he smell coffee?
Does anybody smell toast? I think it's toast.
I thought it was
Wait a minute. So he got hit by something that's essentially a smart car. And that's what killed him. Not
he didn't get hit. Nobody really knows because the car went over the top of him.
Let's just throw it out there and guess.
It's like it went over the top of him.
It's like getting run over by a matchbox car.
Fiance's
you live to tell that tale.
But not if you had a stroke before.
Not if you had a stroke before, yeah. though. No.
Not if you're going in handicapped.
Well, thank you, Colonel, for sharing that.
I know, that was
a
fucking pointless
that's
bullshit
story.
It's fucking ridiculous. And your mom's dead.
Your mom was laughing about it?
My mom, something was wrong with her. She would just laugh her ass out about stories like that.
Find your place and tell me more about this story.
In June of 1978, Colonel.
And try to stay on topic, could you?
Okay. Rock was burdened by debt, and he was under police surveillance.
What? He was on fire by debt?
He loaded the commune into their vehicles. So apparently they have more than one.
He was burdened, Timmy. Burdened.
Yeah, what did they say?
Burned.
Well, he was burned too. They loaded their commune into vehicles and they wandered from town to town. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
This poor son of a bitch can't catch a break. He got the student loan people calling. He's on fire.
All kinds of shit happening to him. In July, they found themselves in the wilderness, Brandy. The Gaspé Peninsula. Have you ever been to the Gaspé Peninsula, Colonel?
I've been there.
How was it? How'd you find it?
It was all right. Wouldn't recommend
it. Eat at a Tim Hortons there?
Yeah. Until the crazy people came.
And the vehicles. The group set out on foot and hiked until they found an isolated hill that Rock named Eternal Mountain. And it was here that they made their home, Brandy. Your thoughts on that?
On Eternal Mountain?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a cave?
They worked at least 17 hours a day. Sort of like you and I. Yeah.
Like me and you, Timmy.
Worked 17 hours a day clearing the land. Rock rationed the food, and if anyone complained about anything, he would punish them by restricting their food. So he's a little prick. His rock stomach's pains prevented him from participating in the labor, of course.
He got a stomach pain. You can't be out chopping wood and shit.
Yeah. Also, he's got to dole out the food.
Yeah.
Israel was much more important for their spiritual salvation. Impressing on his followers that everyone in the outside world, especially their families, were active oppressors of the righteous.
Oppressors of the righteous. Do you hear that?
You feel that way at times, don't you, Colonel?
I'm being oppressed, yeah.
You're an oppressor of the righteous.
He told them that they'd be punished, that the oppressors would be punished for eternity.
Damn right they will.
At this point, Yolanda headed back to France.
Is that the girl from Napoleon Dynamite?
I don't know. Upon completion, okay, so they built this cabin, right? It consisted
of... How the fuck you get there?
They're clearing the land, right? They got in their little car, and they went out, and they found some to this peninsula.
So they built a cabin.
They built a cabin.
Okay, I'm with you.
Okay, you with me? We're sorry? So good?
We got
and it consisted of a single open room with a well in the center. So they got their water. It was convenient. Mm-hmm. A ceiling made of bark-covered logs and rooms consisting of only a three-foot-high partitions and bed sheets hung as curtains.
Hold on.
All right.
Bark-covered logs is a roof. Clark, is that going to help him? Can you use bark-covered logs as a roof?
You probably want to add some more material up there.
Something like moss.
Moss?
Moss. Some hay.
Some good
Me and Clark are survivalists. Yeah. Yeah. When apocalypse come, it's going to be me and Clark standing.
And I get that. That's fine. But I mean, that's great. But you're talking about a roof, and this is a ceiling, which indicates that it's inside. So you're going to hang moss on the inside of that
room.
Fucking ceiling?
He said room.
Well, he fucked it up. It's a goddamn ceiling.
Well, let's go to Chuck's iPhone and listen back and play it back.
I don't want it to fall off the pole.
I'm going to check on
Nope, sit down. Look what you're doing. Sit down.
I'm just going to check on the phone.
Let's see. Where was I? Okay, so all these people were getting welfare checks. This group, Randy, your thoughts on that?
Like a jewel over here.
There you go.
They had a monthly budget of 1,400 Canadian dollars. Better known as loonies, Randy.
That's a lot of money back then.
A lot of loonies. In October 1978, he used to love going to strip clubs in Canada because loonies used to be like 70 cents to a dollar, and you could give them a loony, and then, you know, like say
but
30
cents. But, you
know,
they screw you up up there because, and this is how they cheat you, is their coins, they have like $1 coins and $2 coins, and then the paper money's different colors. It's just not right.
Well, that's amazing.
No, I mean, you shouldn't do that.
Thank you for that history lesson.
Well, thank God we have our Constitution. That's all I'm saying. We can keep our money straight. You don't get cheated when you're buying a Coke Zero. It cost me $22.
I feel like they saw you coming.
That might have been.
In October 1978, Giselle went to Rock and said that the unmarried women were lonely. Brandy?
Welcome to the world.
So he began marrying them himself.
Well, that helps.
Including Gabrielle, a 20-year-old lady with multiple sclerosis. She was an invalid. And her parents placed her under Rock's care. That's fucked up, man.
Yeah, that's it.
Here, take her.
Thank you, Mom.
Although he did not try to have intercourse with her, so some things are sacred. He did have sex with his other wives. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
It happens. They're married.
He has multiple. He had, except for
so, hold on.
Marie.
You got to remember who you're talking to. You can have 33 wives and
have sex with all of them.
That is so not how it works.
That's how your people do it, ain't it?
No.
I'm just saying. I'm not judging.
You are judging, but no. Shut, you know.
So what happened in 1978, Brandy?
Tell me all about it, Timmy.
Well, that, of course, is when Jonestown happens, right? 1978. And that, because of the publicity around Jonestown, the families in which Rock's followers, they become concerned, of course. Questioned by the police, Rock claimed the commune was a democracy.
Mm-hmm. Much like you say this show is a democracy, but you but never ever tell me and Brandy what we're going to do.
That's horseshit.
Yeah.
They lived, and he told them that there was a democracy, and they lived in peace and love, and there was no promiscuity, which we do not...
We don't endorse it.
No. I think there was some sexual relations going on last night at the hotel.
Oh, I wouldn't want to walk through that with a black light today, Timmy.
So glad the two of you are here for that.
The police realized that Rock was a nutcase. That's Jason's. Jason's, that was a little judgmental.
Turn of phrase.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little judgmental on Jason's part.
That's Can we have a little more objectivity and a little less subjectivity on that, Jason?
They realized he was a nutcase, but without proof, they released him.
Is it against the law to be a nutcase?
Well, even I guess. They were looking for cults at the time.
He was in Canada.
Cults was a big thing.
The bar is pretty high for nutcases in Canada, Timmy.
After 2 years of sobriety, he was get sober. He started drinking again and began to deliver long, rambling, drunken sermons. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Sounds like Chuck.
If anyone fell asleep, he would smack him in the head with a 4-inch thick club.
Also like Chuck.
Yeah. You gotta pay attention. Miss something important.
I doubt it.
Okay, so the one person he didn't have sex with, one wife he didn't have sex with, was Mary East Grenier, I guess. But she got pregnant, and she was pregnant, and she had, you know, she was eating for two, so she ate two more pancakes than Rock had allocated to her, Brandy. Your thoughts on that, Colonel?
She was eating for two, Timmy.
He punched her in the side and broke two of her ribs. That's not good.
That takes Lego my ego to a whole new level, Timmy.
She began to talk about leaving the group, Colonel.
Goddamn right she did. But she was going to walk slow because those ribs hurt.
All she wanted to do is have some pancakes.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. I love pancakes. So, Rock instructed Jacques to cut off one of her toes with an axe, which is not an exact instrument.
Yeah, how are you going to cut off one toe with an axe? You just going to put one baby toe up on the stump?
I don't.
Because, I mean, an axe is pretty wide.
I mean, I didn't research it or anything, so I don't know.
I mean, you could do it if you did it properly. You just put the baby toe or the big toe up, isolate them, tape them, hit it with an axe. I'm just thinking about the logistics. How you do that?
I don't fucking know. Okay, so.
And feet are nasty anyway.
It depends.
You like feet?
I don't hate them. I don't think about them much.
So weird.
I'm glad I got them.
So Jacques refused to do that. And so Rock grabbed the axe and threatened to cut off all of her toes himself. So reluctantly, Jacques took the axe and severed one of Maurice's small toes.
Are you struggling
with the name?
No, I said Maurice. Are we
still on the pancake incident?
This is over pancakes.
Damn. Shake two extra pancakes.
Jeez.
There's always so many pancakes.
If you don't have limits on your pancakes, what do you have?
I wonder what happens Anarchy. To the person who eats the last toast of strudels up in there.
I don't know. In March of 1978, Chantal's parents obtained a court order for a round of psychiatric tests for their daughter. When two police officers showed up at the compound, Rock repelled them.
Oh, you repellent bastard.
Like, did he wrap him with a rope and throw him down the side of the building?
I don't know. I'm just reading what's written.
All right.
Were they just disgusted and walked away? You repulsive son of a bitch, you.
I bet he did smell.
Mm. Oh, you know he did.
1 month later, 10 police officers sent a helicopter down on Eternal Mountain.
What a That seemed to be a long time there in between, you know, after he repelled the two police officers. You think they'd come right back.
No, they got to get 10 officers. They got to find a helicopter.
A month later seems like a long time.
Then you should run the investigation.
I'm sorry.
Jeez.
They arrested Rock for obstruction of justice, and he was ordered by the court to undergo psychological evaluation. At the mental hospital, Rock claimed that he had saved kids from drugs. The director of the hospital expressed his scorn for the police, who arrested a man for just being different.
Yeah.
What an idiot. He was released from the hospital early, stood trial, and given 1 year suspended sentence. Shortly after this, Gabrielle, the multiple sclerosis invalid, went into a coma and died.
Notice how she's skipping the last name.
Yeah, I noticed that.
She's picking easy names. You're cherry-picking names there, devil.
I'm not dumb. Rock wanted to bury her at Eternal Mountain, but she was taken by the authorities for an autopsy. Rock swore that if anyone else died on the commune, their body would stay there. In November of 1980, Guy Veer joined the commune. He had undergone treatment for depression at the same hospital that had declared Rock mentally sound. Mentally sound. Veer was permitted to stay at the commune in the storage shed, away from Rock and his family. Veer's job included manual labor and babysitting three children, Samuel, Miriam, and Simon, children who Rock referred to as animals since they were not his kids.
And this back before, you couldn't get Netflix back in the shed back then. If you wanted to stick me in the shed with Netflix, I'd stay there for a while. Won't be that bad. I mean, Netflix in the shed, as long as it ain't like 120 degrees or something. I'm just saying, who out there would not want to get away some days and go to a shed and watch Netflix? See?
Or an outhouse or something. All right. So on March 23rd, 1981, Rock organized a party to celebrate his two sons coming to live with him. There are two versions regarding what happened that night. Oh, this is awful. The official version, accepted by the court, is the one that is given by most of the commune members. According to this version, 2-year-old Samuel was crying that night and keeping Veer awake. Veer started screaming at the child.
Jesus Christ, that's some gruesome shit.
Yeah, this
so
is
they
a...
Wait
just
a minute.
Abused him?
Can you let me get there? Yeah, because you all lack
I
no capacity
it.
For empathy or anything, so... Then picking up the 2-year-old boy by the throat, he punched the child's face 5 or 6 times. The next day, Samuel's head was flopping around on his neck, and his penis had swelled up. Rock, being the helpful motherfucker that he was, took a pair of scissors, and after sterilizing them in alcohol, he lanced Samuel's penis to prevent urine to flow out. The next morning, Samuel was dead. But in Strange Messiah by Paul Kalia.
I believe that'd be Savage Messiah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it is. Savage Messiah.
Okay, Timmy, thank
you. Fuck you, Timmy. It's running off.
I did not write this.
Okay, and Ross Laver. Giselle says Samuel's face was bruised, but there was nothing else wrong with him. Oh, okay, good. However, Rock decided that the child needed to be circumcised.
With a pair of scissors?
Stop.
Jesus.
He used the 94% ethanol solution to sterile the razor and then poured some into Samuel's mouth for use as an anesthetic. This may have been enough to cause Samuel's death by alcohol poisoning. At supper, Rock suggested that they burn the baby's remains. For 6 months, everything went smoothly for the commune, but one night in September of 1981, a drunken Rock became angry and decided that Veer should stand trial. The trial lasted 1 hour and the verdict was unanimous. Not guilty by reason of insanity. Rock was not satisfied with this decision, and a couple hours later he suggested they just go ahead and castrate Veer and then call for a vote.
That seems backwards.
Yeah.
A little bit. Of a jury of 10, including 12-year-old Rock Jr., they were going to call for a vote on whether or not they should castrate him.
Right.
As you do in any democracy. Let's see. Only 3 people voted against castration. Veer, surprisingly, was not keen on the idea, but Rock talked him it, talked him into it, claiming it would cure Veer's headaches.
Is that true, Colonel, if you get Castor?
That's a subject I rarely want to broach, Timmy.
Okay.
Well, here's one that
I'll take
you
the headaches.
Well, yeah, but here you go. You may want to hold on to this. Cure his headaches as well as the excessive masturbation that was causing Veer's respiratory difficulties.
Well, yeah, goddamn right he was short of breath. He was walking around all the time. He didn't have a respiratory thing. He was just masturbating all the time.
He's like a monkey. Yeah, like a monkey at the zoo.
Cause you breathe hard. I don't know.
It's
like cardio, really, though.
It's
get your heart rate up, get your breathing heavy.
Christ,
it's like walking like
doing?
A 10 mile. If you do it right.
If you castrated, you probably would. It probably would cut down on your excessive masturbation.
It would cut down on it.
It'd slow it down somewhat.
Yeah. Well, good. Jesus. He explained that in the hierarchy of the group, Veer was a slave, and that if he underwent castration, he would become a eunuch.
Yeah, there's something.
Which would be a step up. He asked Veer to write a letter of consent, and Veer signed it. After his castration, Veer never complained of another headache.
And his breathing improved.
Well, wait, is that one of those things where you say, like, ow, I hurt my arm, well, yeah. Kick you in the leg?
Yeah. Somebody punches you in the throat.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, my arm's fine now.
Jesus. Rock felt that now Veer was...
You never want to tell him you have a headache.
Wait a minute. This poor dumb son of a bitch. So he never complained of another headache, but now Rock felt like Veer was a security risk.
Oh, yeah.
And began beating him savagely. What?
I bet the headaches came back.
He's a security risk? What does that even mean? On November 5th.
Well, because you don't know what this guy's capable of. He spent all his time before, because he could have been a sketchy, shady guy.
Oh, he could have been?
But he's spending all his time before masturbating, so he ain't got to worry about it. But now, all of a sudden, he's got time on his hands instead of, got it. Exactly. So now he's a security risk.
Okay. Well, on November 5th, 1981.
That's why you neuter pigs. Because if you don't neuter them, they will just have sex with the other pigs. But once you neuter them, they become mean and they start eating more. See, that's the thing.
Uh-huh.
Now they can't be spending their time with the other pigs, uh-huh, fornicating.
Uh-huh.
So now they're dangerous. You castrate somebody, they're dangerous. That's all I'm saying.
It's an amazing fucking stupid ass story. All right. So on November 5th, 1981, Veer escaped to the village of Saint Jacques, where he told the villagers that a baby had died after being kicked by a horse. And it's really close. The police raided the compound, arrested Rock and Samuel's parents, and relocated 7 children to foster homes. They found Samuel's remains, and the commune members told the story of Veer beating the child. After the coroner determined that the group was criminally responsible for the death of baby Samuel, the police made the following charges. Criminal negligence causing bodily harm to 2-year-old Samuel. Bodily harm with intent to mutilate Guy Veer. Everyone except Rock and Gabrielle were released on their own recognizance on the condition that they not return to the cabin. At the end of the 9-month trial, all parties were found guilty. Probation and various prison terms ranging from 6 months to 2 years were handed down to everybody except Guy Veer, who was returned to the mental ward.
He was a security risk.
Now he ain't even got anything to do. I hope the poor bastard gets Netflix up there, because he can't even masturbate no more.
I don't know what to do with that. Okay.
Yeah. Take up crocheting or something. Keep
right.
His hands busy.
So.
You got that one, did you?
No. We all got it.
Okay.
Let's see. Rock was transferred to Orsonville Detention Center in Quebec City.
Orsainville.
Whatever.
Orsainville. Jesus Christ. What? Pronunciation. Diction. Diction. God damn it.
Really?
Let's just move on, please.
I have some diction for you. Okay, so the police razed their cabin to the ground and bulldozed the ashes. They would go back into the bush and start all over again. Where? What? Cabin?
They went back in the bush.
I see that. Who went back in the bush?
The remaining members.
Oh, the remaining members. Okay.
Can you follow this oriental?
Jesus Christ, try to pay attention.
Pay attention to what you're saying.
There's a they.
Do you even know what you're saying? You're just reading stuff off a page. You're not even following.
I'm just trying to make it to the pizza place later on. That's all I need to do. All right, so this time they were on Lot 4, Concession 5 in Somerville Township, Burnt River in Victoria County, Ontario.
I love the detail that Jason puts in there, so now we can go on Google
Now we
Maps.
Can go in toilet paper. In May of 1984, Rock began construction of a new isolated two-story A-framed house.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
With a bakery, a maple sugar shack, a smokehouse, a root cellar, and a stone altar upon which he would commune with God.
Sounds like a nice place.
Mm-hmm. This was all built by his 2 male and 9 female followers, 4 of whom were pregnant. All of whom were also responsible for the commune's 10 children, ranging from 1 to 15.
In Rock's defense, he has digestive problems.
And he's around pregnant women all the time.
Rock established a new hierarchy for the group, assigning each of his wives different responsibilities. The lowest of them all was Maurice something or another. Rock encouraged her husband, Jacques, to beat her if she talked back to him, even though she was pregnant. He eventually ordered her to live apart from everyone else in her own hut with her own 2 children.
She was shunned.
Oh, no, don't throw me there. Don't send me to be
by myself
with my kids.
Yeah, don't send me away so you can't beat me anymore.
Right, no. Yeah. Denied welfare, the group began selling fruits and pastries. This proved to be a success.
Oh.
And Rock organized a company. Though the members of Rock's group still had to subsist on corn and potatoes.
No fucking pancakes.
That's gonna cause some digestive issues.
You can't have pancakes. She ruined it for everybody. At least now they were making some money and everything seemed to be going well. But as Rock became less desperate to survive, he became increasingly bored and began to drink again. Well, yeah. Oh, here we go. And there's where it gets
here
fun.
Here we go.
He organized nude wrestling matches between the women. Or he would put a man in the middle of the circle and tell the women to kick him.
I have been in that circle before.
Also known as Saturday.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes he would beat them, or he would strike them with the broad side of an axe. That's not the sharp side. Sometimes he would urinate on them.
That seems rude.
Or... hear the enunciation on this.
Oh, hold the hell on now.
I want you to hear the enunciation. Or force them to perform analingus on one another. Or, and this is pretty gross though, or smear each other with smear themselves with each other's feces.
How did you nail that pronunciation? I believe you've said that a couple times before.
She's done a lot of internet searches.
Yeah. Can't get those French names right, but she got that one.
On January 26, 1985, Gabrielle put her five-month-old baby, Rock's son, Eliezer. Now, is that right?
That's Eliezer.
Eliezer. Ugh. In a wheelbarrow. It was snowing. The temperature was minus 10, or 14 degrees Fahrenheit. In 2 hours, the baby was dead. Rock said it bore the mark of the devil and had often beaten it.
Jesus Christ.
I know. I don't know why that made me chuckle a minute, but that's wrong.
Is there something wrong with you? Fundamentally?
Mark of the devil. I don't know.
You mean something in your soul is broken, maybe?
No, the mark of the devil just made me chuckle. Just fuck off. Gabrielle thought this would be an act of mercy for the infant. It probably was. The county coroner, Al Lackey, a friend of Rock's, claimed that it had been sudden infant death syndrome. The county's Children's Aid Society began watching the commune like hawks.
Like you?
Not at all. A year later...
Thank you. You see, his nickname is Hawk.
Oh, I don't care. No shit, because he's tried to get me to call him that for the past 6 years.
He named himself.
I know he named himself. Fucking stupid. You don't give yourself your own fucking
Could
nickname.
Could you just get on with the goddamn story, please, and
well,
try to pay attention?
I would. This is a weird name, and I'm...
There, look at him. Not on the edge of the damn seats out here, and you're talking about off-topic stuff.
A year later, Maurice, the only adult woman of the group Rock hadn't taken as his own wife, was permitted to leave with two of her three children. Her oldest daughter, who was now entering puberty, remained behind because to become one of Rock's next wives. Maurice left and later decided to pursue legal action to get the custody of her remaining daughter. Part of this legal action involves testifying on the conditions under which the children of the compound lived. This was all that was needed for the Children's Aid Society to sweep in and take the kids to foster homes. As the children were interviewed, horrifying details were revealed. Rock had separated the children of the compound into two groups. His own children, who enjoyed a privileged position in the commune, and those who were not his own, were regarded as animals and crawled on the ground and were severely malnourished.
What exactly do you think a privileged position in that compound looks like? An extra pancake. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
The whole story revolves around fucking pancakes. Sometimes he would hold two women's children over a fire and threaten to throw one of them in. Well, that's a fun game. Some children had mouths full of rotting teeth. The children had chores around the commune, such as hand washing the adult women. Such as hand washing the adult women's sanitary napkins.
Can you even wash those things?
Well, they have those that are reusable or not. I don't know.
Are they Amish? Well, I guess it's a cult. They can do whatever they want.
I don't know.
Really want to thank Jason and Leanne for this story.
Right.
Yeah, thank you.
They were deprived of sleep, food, and hygiene. The children were also deprived of education, except Rock's own religious and sexual education. The children were able to go into great detail about sex rites, which were held in the cabin.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what I'm sure they want. I'm sure they wanted these kids to tell them all about that. Well, right. Rock and his teenage son, Rock Jr., oh good, molested the children. I'll get you for this. No, we're here. Rock would sometimes have the children masturbate him or watch as members of the group masturbated one another or themselves, believing this to be the proper method of sexual instruction. So they castrate the one guy.
Yeah, you do it too much. You see, there's a fine line there. You do it too much, they'll just cut him right off. There's like a limit. I don't know.
I got nothing. The court ordered an independent assessment, and Dr. Rial?
Close enough.
Rahal.
It's not Rahal.
Rahal.
It's not Rahal.
R-H-E-A-L. Rahal.
No. And Dr. Martine.
Get the last name out of this guy. What's Dr. Martine's last name?
Miljukovic.
That's pretty good.
Now suck that tit.
Actually, that's wrong.
Huh?
Actually, the K will be silent.
No, it's not fucking silent.
Yeah.
Piece of shit.
Miljukovic.
No. Yeah. No. Anyway, so he recommended that the children be returned to Burt River immediately. In their 300-page report, they celebrated Rock's pioneering spirit and experimental attitude regarding sexual education and accused the government of persecuting the group. But in the end, on October 26, 1987, the court ruled that the children be made wards of the crown. But there wasn't enough evidence to press criminal charges against Rock. The stress was getting to him. One day he became enraged at Claude and ordered him to walk around with an elastic band wrapped tightly around his scrotum.
I hate that.
Do you hate that?
I really do.
I see.
That's, sometimes you have to do it.
That's something we never have to talk about again. Claude kept it on. What? Claude kept it on overnight, which caused irreparable damage to his testicles.
Yeah. He will do that.
Oh, I don't like any part of it.
That's why you don't. Yeah, you don't keep elastic in your underwear.
Well, hold on.
You end up like Nick.
Y'all may want to cross your legs for this. Rock used a razor blade to cut open Claude's scrotum and pluck out an infected testicle with his fingers.
Oh. Do you think he sanitized his fingers?
I don't think he sanitized anything now. He then cauterized the wound with a hot piece of iron.
That's one way to do it.
Safety first.
Well, at least he didn't cut it open with a can opener.
What?
Stapler.
Used a razor blade.
Are you done?
Okay.
Well, I'm just saying, when I had to have a procedure done, and the doctor said, I don't use I use a scalpelist method, and I said, you know, if you're going to cut me, I would like you to find the sharpest thing you could find. That's my only point.
He's had a vasectomy.
He said he was using a scalpelist
method. I know. Everybody knows he's had a vasectomy. Nobody cares he's had a vasectomy.
Well, I just want him to use something sharp, not a teaspoon or
I don't give a fuck.
Rusty, edge of a rusty can lid or something like that.
Plastic
rip it open
knife.
With your bare hands. Gnaw through it. I just want something sharp. Just make a clean opening. That's all I said.
Go ahead. Your thought about that?
It's a fascinating fucking story. All right. So, One night in February 1987, Rock threw a hunting knife at Giselle, creating a wound 3 inches deep on her thigh. Rock's response was to get another beer and go to sleep. When he awoke 2 hours later, a clot had formed in Giselle's leg, which had swollen. Rock decided to operate, pressing the leg to cause the wound to reopen and probing it with a red-hot iron file, pouring cup after cup of boiling water on the leg. After the leg healed a bit, she tried to escape, but a few days later, she went back to Rock. Other punishments? He passed a torch over Josie's back until the skin bubbled. He also passed it over Nicole's tummy the day she gave birth for the first time. He hit Jacques in the head with a blunt axe and broke his ribs with a wooden club. He beat Nicole, 3 months pregnant, causing her to miscarry. He broke Giselle's ribs with his steel-toed boots. And he pulled 11 of Claude's teeth with a pair of pliers.
Oh, Claude always ends up getting the bad end of the deal.
Claude doesn't do well. Now, Giselle was the invalid, right? Things were rough for Claude out there.
Got
his testicles taken off and whatnot. He also... he squeezed Gabrielle and Giselle's nipples with vice grips... Until they
bled. Ooh,
they did
until
bleed.
They bled.
And here's Claude again.
Fucking Claude. This poor motherfucker. Why he didn't take the first goddamn bus out of the compound, I do not know. So now you got
especially
Claude
after this.
Hogtied and suspended from the ceiling. He orders his wives to come in and pluck out Claude's pubic hairs.
We would not encourage anyone to do
bald.
That's, yeah. Could we use, again, can you use something sharp to just remove that? You don't have to use tweezers on that. What the fuck is wrong with Claude? Why does he stay there? Then he pours boiling water on him. And he does all kinds of nasty things. He's got vices and hands and hypodermic needles and genitals that are getting mutilated. Pinky fingers cut off. I'm not.
Do you want me to read this nasty this next part, or do you want to skip it?
This is gruesome. No, you read it. It's too ugly for me. I'm a delicate man.
This is a really, really this is one of her strong suits. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah.
At one point, Gabrielle's uterus prolapsed.
You okay?
Ooh. Well, we can skip that, I believe.
All right. Well, where were we? At the uterus prolapse.
Yeah, the prolapse uterus.
I was gonna skip that one.
The organ protruded 3 inches outside of her vagina, and for those of you who are unfamiliar, that should not happen. It's pretty compact in there. Rock, being the helpful guy that he is, attempted to fix it by punching the uterus back inside Gabrielle's body. Wait, we're not done. We're not done. And since he's a woodworker, he fashioned a wooden cone and truss to just plug everything up in there. Rock's next treatment, again, because he's a helper, was to tie a piece of string around the exposed portion of the uterus and yank it like a loose tooth.
Tied to a doorknob?
Probably.
Well, that's the fucking sickest thing I've ever heard.
We've read some dark shit on scripts before. I ain't never run into no shit like this.
It was a whole year before Gabrielle would have the opportunity to get a partial hysterectomy while Rock was away. So she eventually did get fixed up. Can you sack up and read the next one, or do you need me to do that?
Fine. Okay, now we got Solange. She starts to get ill. Rock convinces her that there had to be an operation that he could perform, of course, because he knows about medicine. So he got pretty liquored up, cleared off the table. So the person, what the hell causes people to do that? They just lay down and say, okay, go ahead, do the operation.
Is Claude still on the ceiling?
I'm pretty sure we're going to...
Claude's still on the ceiling.
We're going to get Claude.
Claude and his...
They're plugging his back hair now, but...
Claude and his baby balls.
No, he decides... This person just says, okay, go ahead and do the operation. He takes a knife, makes a little incision, takes out some part of the intestine and cuts it out and shoves the rest back in, says, you're going to be all right now.
Wait, and somebody closed for him, though.
They died of perianitis, which is what happens when digestive fluids leak into your abdominal cavity there.
You already knew that, though.
Now this, yes, I did. From a medical training to me. Mm-hmm.
Or it's just written there.
Now, at first, Rock, this is strange because Rock was distraught by this and tried to kill himself. Then he went to Utah to see Dr. Jeff Grossbeck.
Where? Where'd he go?
Utah.
There you go.
What did I say?
Utah.
He's to see Jeff Grossbeck, one of his polygamy buddies.
It's Jess, but you're good. Yeah. Keep talking about my pronunciation of shit.
He told Dr. Grossbeck that he'd been having these strange dreams which Solange was inside Roche's body. Dreams in which Solange takes shape from Roche's spilt semen.
I don't understand that.
Well,
dream.
They convinced themselves that Solange was the first reverse birth. A spiritual rebirth through the belly of the male to parallel the carnal birth through the womb of the female.
All right, you got it now?
Yeah, there's men having babies. Now, Roche became convinced that he was pregnant with his deceased wife, Solange.
Happened.
Because why wouldn't he be?
He returned to, and this is what you would do in that case. He returned to Ontario after a couple days, ordered Claude, because here's Claude again. He ain't doing nothing.
Bald Claude.
They let him down.
Bald Claude, yeah. Claude, get your ass and shovel, get over here. They dug up Solange's body because they couldn't, send her in, and they poured vinegar on her internal organs to keep the worms off, of course, before they buried again. And he got Jock to make a hole in her skull with a hand drill. Now, you got to remember, he's convinced that he's pregnant with this woman. He's going through all this. It seems to make some sense to him, but it don't make a goddamn bit of sense to me. So he masturbates into the hole in his head, in her head. No, I mean, this makes perfect sense to this guy. Now, her wish had been to be cremated, and my guess is she thought this bastard might do something like this in the future and said, no, please just set me on fire.
Wait, wait. Go back to read that sentence again about then he masturbated in the hole.
Hold on, where are we at?
Right here. Then he masturbated in the hole.
Yeah, then, yeah, he dug, drilled it with a hole, he masturbated into the hole, spilling his seed into her rotting brain. That's what you wanted me to get there?
Yeah.
That was some, that was some prose there, Keats. So, Solange's wish, of course, had been to be cremated because, yeah, cremate my ass, too, if I'm ever around some bitch like that. I want to be... It's like you're resting all peaceful and like, oh, you know, I had a good life, whatever, and then all of a sudden somebody digging you back up.
Is it like that?
That's a bullshit right there, yeah. So anyway, Roach decided to, on July 6th, he decided he was going to be a doctor again, Timmy.
Okay.
He remembered that Gabrielle had a stiff pinky finger and told her to put a hand on the kitchen table.
Did he read that?
No, you missed a spot.
Oh, hold on.
After burning.
Seriously? Yeah, yeah, yeah. She'd be okay, so he decides to burn the body.
All right.
Right?
The one he masturbated.
The one he masturbated on. Collect some fragments, put them in a jar, and he would regularly masturbate into that jar in an attempt to bring her back to life. It's like a vampire if you got their ashes and you drip blood on them. Mm. Doesn't work like that with a person.
Doesn't work like that with a vampire either.
Do you know that for sure?
Yeah, I do.
I don't think you do.
You don't know my life.
Well, anyway, and so he decides to play doctor again. He remembered that Gabrielle had a little bit of arthritis in a pinky finger there and told her to put a hand on the kitchen table, and then he stabbed her in the hand with a hunting knife.
I mean, you really don't want to.
This ain't
bring
the kind
problem.
Of guy you want to say, oh, look here, do I got something in my eye? Because it's a jab a damn hunting knife in there. So, anyway. He stabbed her in the hand. After 45 minutes, he came back over to see her whole arm had turned blue. So he went and got a carpet knife and whittled her arm halfway between the elbow and the shoulder. He whittled all the way to the damn bone. Too drunk to finish, he called Chantel over to finish the job. She cleared away a band of exposed bone and went all the way around Gabriel's arm. Then he used the dog meat cleaver and cut off Gabriel's arm. The next day, Gabrielle went to a woman's shelter, but then returned again to the compound. Now, a couple days later, Roche decided her stump was gangrenous, used a pair of scissors to cut out the infection. He also whacked her on the head with the side of an axe, and she fled into the bush. When she came to her senses 2 days later, because those head axes will fuck you up, man. You get hit in the side of the head with an axe, it will jack you up.
Well, I mean,
real
I can
good.
See maybe trying to clear out the infection, but what was the whack in the head about?
Just so she didn't feel the pain.
Okay.
So it was a humanitarian thing, I think, Timmy. I don't know.
Thank you.
Anyway,
no, wait a minute.
She found that insects had laid eggs in the head wound that she got after he treated the gangrenous stuff. So now, this tale that we have won, I'm about to get to the happy ending here. She returned to the cabin to find Roche drunk. Jox used a blowtorch to cut a piece off the drive shaft of one of the old cars they had in the yard. He heated it till it was metal hot and cauterized the stump. But he was so drunk he kept dropping it on Gabrielle, giving her burns everywhere else before he could. This guy don't seem like he knows a lot about medicine, too.
You think?
Yeah.
You think?
But anyway, when finally the police were called and a charge of aggravated assault against Roche was made, the police get there with a warrant. The compound was deserted. Roche, Jacques, Chantel, Nicole, they took off. They fled to Quebec. The others had gone home to their families. It took police 6 weeks to find them, and it was not until October 6th, Timmy, that Giselle decided to tell anyone about Solange's death. Everyone pleaded guilty to all charges laid against them. Related to the amputation, Timmy. Now, Roche received 12 years, Jacques 5 years, Chantel 2, Nicole 18 months. The police also pressed charges against Rock for his first-degree murder of Solange. But when the court found There was insufficient evidence that the murder had occurred, been premeditated. Premeditated, goddamn. We need to be premeditated before we do some shit like this again. Rock was committed to a trial for second-degree murder. He made a plea deal. And let's get to the happy ending. He went to prison. He was rejected for parole. And on February 26, 2011, Timmy, now he's in prison thinking, yeah. Okay, I got to, you know, got locked up. The 63-year-old Roach, because that's what I'm calling him now, Timmy, not Rock, Roach.
Roach.
He's like a roach. He was found dead near his cell. Matthew McDonald, former lead singer of the Doobie Brothers, a 60-year-old convicted murderer, stabbed Roach in the neck with a shiv. Then walked over to the guard station, handed the guards a weapon, and proclaimed, "That piece of shit is down on the range. Here's a knife. I sliced his ass up." He was dead. That's the happy ending you were looking for there.
So, Brandy, what's your final thoughts on Rock Thorant, the Anthill Kid Cult?
He's a bit of a dick. Bit of a dick. Not a fan of all of that.
Not a big fan of the Rock.
Not a fan. Not a fan of that guy.
Colonel, your final thoughts.
Who's the guy? Who's the guy Dracula had? His little helper. What?
Renfield.
That's what Claude was, I believe.
I don't know if Renfield was ever strung up and had his pubes waxed off.
He would have done it, though. If Dracula would have thought of it, he would have done it.
Okay. Well, that was
your
final thoughts, Tim.
I don't feel good now.
I just, you know, it's a tragic tale.
Jesus.
Tragic?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We'll go with tragic.
All right. So, thank you, Jason, for the script. Okay, so now we're going to ad lib, because, you know, everything else is so planned out, what we do, well rehearsed.
Yeah, it's everything synchronized and scripted.
So you want to, like, take some questions?
Does anybody have any questions? Because they're sitting there looking in shock right now, like, son of a bitch. He had his...
Yes.
I was drinking water, son. You needed to keep a close eye on me. I was drinking water the whole damn time, and you can't prove differently.
Any other questions? Yes,
yes,
Nina.
Ma'am. The lovely lady over here.
Were they not wearing
the socialized
medicine?
Oh, Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently not. That's
a
good point.
Well, they had Rock.
They had Rock. Yeah, they had Rock. That's what happens when you get socialized medicine. They're like, no, I don't want to go to the hospital. Just lay me on the table, cut my intestines out. That's why you never have socialized medicine.
Dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard.
Goddamn Obamacare caused people
to
lay on the table. Thanks, Obama.
You got Rock-O-Care.
Yeah, Rock-O-Care. Oh, Rock-O-Care.
Okay, any other questions? Yeah, Nick. Where does babies come from?
Not a prolapsed uterus.
You know this.
They don't come from me.
Well, they don't come from me.
I don't have Google.
Well, maybe you should. When mommy and daddy...
Maybe you need to explain the female anatomy again.
I've done this way too many times, Nick. But if you go to my page, I'm going to have some drawings up. Some before and afters.
Dominique. Oh, I guess we answered her question about where babies come from.
We're going to talk.
Any other questions? Okay, so I think Chuck is going. You're going to.
We do have a couple podcasters here.
Yeah, not us. Like real ones.
Yeah, not us. Not us. Not right. Us. God damn it.
What?
Are you having a panic?
Huh?
I'm going to get my microphone.
No, you're doing the interview.
Who am I doing an interview with?
Well, Nina and Shelly.
Can I do an interview with Nina and Shelly? Could you please come up, Nina and Shelly? Or Karen Michelle? Dominique. Well, he gave me names. You did a live show. They know who you are.
Jess should come up too. She may have come to
Ireland. And Jess from New Zealand, please come up here. Where's she at? Here, Jess. Oh, you got a chair? Okay.
Chuck just wanted to be around all these women.
Yeah, this is not a. This is probably the most pleasant part of the day for me so far. So, now, I will start with you, Miss Nina. You have a very, very successful, I mean, it's not like History Dweebs.
No.
But it's
no.
very.
No, I do okay.
Somewhat. You do okay.
Yeah.
You do okay. Already gone.
Yes.
How can I ask you this? How did that come about?
Well, I had to quit working because my daughter became ill, mm-hmm. and I was listening to podcasts as a way of coping with being stuck home all the time and not being able to go anywhere. And after a few months of that, I was like, I could do this, and decided to start a podcast.
Now, you have kind of a niche. You specialize in certain types of cases.
I tend to cover cases out of Michigan and the Great Lakes region.
And they're typically cold cases, aren't they, a lot of times?
I like older cases. I like things that are 15, 20, 30 years old, because especially if they're unsolved, you can then take a nice long look at the people that were involved in it and see what they've been up to since.
Now, a lot of times are those people, do you have to worry about what you say because people are still alive?
Sometimes.
I mean, like, say, you know, I think this guy did it.
I try not to get into that. I try and present what's out there in the public realm. And if someone is named, if someone is not named publicly, I'm not going to name them publicly.
Oh,
if
okay.
the police haven't named them as a suspect or haven't named them as a person of interest. But if their name's in the paper, say in other regards, I may present the evidence that sort of builds around them to potentially link them to a case.
Okay. And you've been doing this how many episodes, how many years?
2 years, 2.5 years, and I just released episode 101 on Monday.
On Monday?
Yeah.
And already gone.
Already gone.
Now, what have you learned from History Dweebs since you've been following us? I know you're a close follower, and you're trying to always get better. I know that.
Yes,
always
absolutely.
Trying to improve. So I know you listen to us a lot. What have you learned?
Oh my goodness, where to start?
Because I've listened in, there's not a lot of jokes in yours, I just have to say.
No, I tend to be a little more serious, little drier.
Yeah, but it's a great, you have a great voice, so it's
well, thank you.
Nice to listen to.
Thank you.
So,
yeah.
But you could use a little more comedy in there.
Yeah, I need to lighten things up a little bit, that's why I'm here. It's to watch the Masters in action.
Well, let me just give you, balls are always funny.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You can never go wrong with balls.
No, clawed balls.
Clawed bald balls.
Right.
Clawed bald balls. That should be a diction thing. Diction exercise.
Yeah. I'm going to say that to warm up for my podcast next time.
And last year you came up and did a part with me.
I did.
On History Dweebs.
I did. The Holy Rollers.
That's right.
They were rolling.
More.
I still
rolling. Remember that.
Yeah.
Oddly, I still remember that part.
Weird.
Yeah, quite an impact on the Dweebs.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank
Ms.
you.
Ms. Nina, for coming up here. And they can find your podcast on iTunes, Stitcher.
All your fine podcatchers, you'll find Already Gone there.
Already Gone. I highly recommend that one.
All right.
Thank you, Ms. Nina. Okay, are you Shelley or Karen Michelle?
Karen Michelle. Both names.
Both names?
Yeah.
Okay, so you do a podcast yourself. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I have a co-host.
I hear he kind of carries the show, but you're a co-host, yeah. So tell me about the podcast you do.
That's a political podcast.
Yeah.
Wonder whose idea that was.
So tell me about the podcast.
Well, it has a... kind of a grumpy,
but handsome
man who leans more left side of the political spectrum, and then myself, and I lean a little bit like center right on side of the political spectrum, and we work to find things that we agree on instead of arguing. But usually, there's a lot of arguing to get to the point where we agree. But we try very hard to find points of agreement instead of things to argue about. And also we look at history to try to find a common set of facts to start from instead of just listening to what everybody else has to say about it. Instead, people should listen to us.
Well, let me ask you this. You go by two different names on the internet, which is sketchy to begin with. What are you trying to hide?
My family.
Yeah, because does your family, and here, that leads into my next question, do they know you listen to History Dweebs? Do your friends, do the people at church, do they know this stuff?
I don't give details.
Yeah, okay. You don't give details. And so what is the name? You have not said the name of
the name of the podcast is Rants and Reason.
Okay, because you...
He is the Rants. I'm the Reason. I'm just kidding.
Yes, actually, if you didn't know, we do this one together. Yeah. So I am the one who does most of the research and most of the writing.
For
and
sure.
Most of the,
yeah. That's definitely what happens. Yep.
Yeah.
So. You do all the research and you never complain.
I don't
about any of the process of making sure that things are fact-checked. You're very, very good about never, ever, ever complaining about that.
Right.
Yeah.
I just like to make up facts. Because in reality, most people don't know. You can just say whatever you want. So.
Yeah.
And that's been, how long have you had that?
Since last February. At the end of last February, we've had the podcast.
And how did that originate?
Well, this time last year, you made fun of me, and we started actually having a conversation and realized that we actually agreed on way more than we would have thought. I believe this was after, was it before or after I threw the ketchup bottle?
You hit me with a ketchup bottle. That's all I remember.
We're slightly offensive.
It's kind of vague after that, yeah.
Yeah, well.
Now, who does this? I'm sitting at one end of the table, she's sitting at the other, and I say, can somebody pass me the ketchup? And she literally picks up the ketchup bottle and fires it down the other end of the table.
This
hit me in the damn forehead.
Situation.
Yeah.
Was it glass or plastic?
It was glass.
Good.
Hit me right in the damn forehead. Who is that guy?
I just have to say I was there and you deserved it.
I was just wanting some on my fries. That's all I wanted. Well, thank you for coming up.
Yeah.
But finish the story.
That's it.
That's it?
Yeah, that's all. That's all there
okay.
is to that.
So basically, you came to DweebCon and your life has been forever changed.
That's one way of putting it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My political beliefs, which, yeah.
Oh, they're terrible.
Yeah, well, because I don't agree with you on every little thing, but we agree on a lot, and that's what we focus on. And we ended up doing two podcasts a week instead of one because of all the information that we saw on the internet, a lot of the memes that we saw that people were sharing that were just completely not factual. And so we take a few minutes and break apart all those memes on Mondays. And
I don't care that they're not factual. She gets crazy about it. She's like, that's not true.
I like facts. I just, So that's all there is to that.
Well, thank you for sharing. Maybe one day you'll be as popular as History Dweebs.
One can only hope.
Yeah. You'll only have the sterling reputation that we have. Thank you.
Oh, you want to have one?
Jessica, tell us all about you. Is that working?
We don't have microphones in New Zealand.
It's
really small. We don't need them.
Hi.
Tell us about your journey here.
Like today?
Well, not today, goddammit. You know what I'm talking about. You come from New Zealand. You're in the middle of a theater in Cincinnati. I'm not talking about walking from the hotel. Jesus Christ. You're around the most dangerous thing in the world all your life, and you can't answer a simple question.
Well, I flew. It just...
Are your arms tired?
Oh, I'm leaving.
You got to Cincinnati in a roundabout way. You're from New Zealand.
Yes, so I went from New Zealand to Australia. There's a lot of Australians there. And then San Francisco, Kansas City, and then drove from Topeka to here. So it took me, it was about 30 or 40 hours of traveling all up, over a week.
Hey.
Oh my gosh, Nina's talking to me.
So yesterday, you came in with Haley, but on the way, you stopped in Kentucky and did two really important, fundamentally American things yesterday. Can you tell us what happened?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we went to a really sketchy KFC, and we were worried that we wouldn't actually leave the KFC. And then we took our KFC to Colonel Sanders' grave to eat it, to pay our respects. The fact that there's not a KFC like at the mausoleum was very inconvenient. It was cold by the time we got there. It was a very big missed opportunity. They could probably make some money.
Now, is your co-host here?
She's not. She's having a nap.
Oh, okay.
She's living her best life.
We don't do that in America.
She's American. She lives.
She's a disgrace.
She lives in Topeka. Shout out to Topeka. So yes, I've spent the last week with her hanging out in Kansas.
So you do it, she's here, you're there.
Yeah, so once a week.
That's a big time difference, isn't it?
It's massive. So we can literally record once a week because it's sort of late night Friday, early morning Saturday for me. Otherwise work and things doesn't work. So we can only record once a week. We just get on Skype and record our bits, and she does all the research and I write the scripts and then we record.
And I meant to ask you this. I'm going to ask Miss Nina because I forgot to ask her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When you started podcasting, which podcast would you say influenced you the most? The one that you listened to and thought, I could do that, but I, you know, you do it your own way, but I could do that.
History Dweebs. Absolutely.
No, I actually...
Honestly, when I started out, I was listening to Case File was brand new. Generation Y had been around for a couple of years. I was listening to them. And as a woman podcasting on her own, Marissa of The Vanished had just launched her podcast. And I was listening to her and Heidi at Unsolved. And I thought, well, they're doing this. They're making this work. And that really...
Then you thought, I got a better voice. I could do it.
Hell yeah.
Goddamn right. Okay. So what made you decide, you know, I'm going to do a podcast?
Well, I have been listening to podcasts for a really long time, and I was getting sort of involved with the community, and then I thought, I can do this. It doesn't look too hard. I was wrong. It's really fucking hard. But it's been fun and made really great friends, and I'm in the middle of Cincinnati instead of in Wellington, so, you know.
See, and that's good. What I don't get, because I've never found podcasting to be that hard. I show up... I turn on my computer, I do this one, I show up, they got a script there, I do the other one, she calls me, says, hey, get on your computer, turn your microphone on, she has a script, I read it, I'm, not, what's so damn hard?
When you have to do the work.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just not sure what's there.
You haven't actually asked me what my podcast is called yet.
No, that's what we're getting into.
Okay.
I want you. But last night, you confused me. So when you tell people about your podcast, be a little more coherent. I know you've been drinking a little bit. You were drinking last night a lot. So you're a little bit clear-headed today.
Not that much.
So tell us all about your podcast, what it's about.
So it's called Murder Road Trip. And basically, Haley and I say that we get into her car, but we don't because I'm not there. And like drive to different places where crimes have happened, and we have road trip snacks and games, and it's serious but with lighthearted moments. So
you're not actually together, but so the whole thing is based on a lie.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. I mean, you're from New Zealand, we come to expect that from you people, but that's okay.
Awkward. That's Australia. You get us mixed up all the
I'm
time.
I'm sorry, you're right. It is Australia.
Yeah.
But
I don't have a ketchup bottle, and I like this water bottle. So.
And your podcast has been around how long?
We just had our 1-year anniversary in August. So I haven't been on it since the very start. Haley was by herself for a while, and then she couldn't live without me, basically.
And what possessed you to get started on a podcast?
Just seemed like something I could do, something I'd be into. And I love it, and I really enjoy it, but it is hard work, and I love having a co-host because she can do a lot.
Yeah, I don't get that hard work part because I...
It's because you don't do anything.
That might be. That could very well be. I do talk into a microphone. See, that's what I think podcasting is. I talk into a microphone, it gets recorded, and I upload it to Podbean, and it's done. So, and what's your favorite part of podcasting?
The people. So, like, if I hadn't have been doing podcasting, I wouldn't be here. I'd be sitting at home with my husband. Shout out to my husband, Luke, who is home with our seven-year-old. Will I come to America for 2.5 weeks? He's the best. And he listens to History Dweebs, so I might make him listen to this episode.
How did you stumble upon History Dweebs? And what more than
Facebook
that?
A Facebook podcast we listen to, Facebook group. And I saw Tim post something, and I was like, I'll listen to it. And he was like, just as a warning.
Yeah,
it might not be what you think it's going to be.
When you found History Dweebs, what made you not run away? That's what I always wonder.
Brandy?
Yeah. You thought she was the one that was scary? And
no, I felt like I had to stick around for her. She needs lots of people around her supporting her.
She does. Yeah. She does. She drinks. She has some problems. She has some addiction things.
She knows
needs all
that's
the
not
support
what I
mean. She can get. Where's she at?
She's not paying attention. She's taking selfies. I'm declaring my undying love for you. Could you pay attention?
Yes. Tell me again.
I love it. No, you missed it.
And what would you like people to know most about your podcast?
I don't know. Just listen to it.
And repeat it again.
Murder Road Trip.
Murder. Murder Road Trip.
The podcast Murder Road Trip is hosted by Haley and Jess. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, and all of your favorite podcatchers.
And can we get that? Can you pull that out so that
Yeah, I'll pull
promo?
That out. Yeah. She's actually going to do my voicemail greeting while she's here,
and
too.
And then people will listen to it and be like, this is not good.
Well, thank you very much, Jess.
Thank you.
Let's go... Yes. Thank you.
Can I have Nina?
No. Oh. So yours is Death's Door.
That's one of them. I have one in the making, and then I have Death's Door, yes.
Okay, so basically yours is kind of like a hippie podcast against the death penalty, right?
No.
Explain to us what it is, then.
Did you ever think we'd be sitting here with you interviewing me about a podcast
like 20 years ago?
I bet that's going to happen. Death's Door is, I actually don't take any stance on the death penalty in the show. That's really important to me. It's all about educating people on what happens during a death penalty trial. Not just a trial, but the appeals. What happens during executions. And the main reason for that is because, generally speaking, with death penalty cases, you hear a lot at the time of arrest and trial, and then you hear a lot when someone is executed, but you really don't hear much of anything when it comes to the actual process, the appeals process, and some of the flaws, some of the complexities in that system.
But your podcast is kind of built around cases, death penalty cases that have gone wrong.
No.
Somewhere along the line?
No. I've done episodes on people who it was a straight shot. They were definitely guilty. And I really try to mix it up because I think that if you only focus on one type of case, you inevitably seem like you have a slant. And really the main purpose of the show is just to get people to think about the death penalty from a more educated perspective, for lack of a better word, from knowing about the actual complexities, regardless of where they come out on it, because
you know, like if you join the group, the Facebook group, you know, you don't have to have a certain opinion. There are people who are very pro-death penalty, very anti-death penalty. So
when you got started, and I noticed you had a pretty nice microphone there. That you were using. Where'd you get that?
Amazon. From
Amazon. Okay.
Are you trying to insinuate that you gave me my mic? What?
I did when you started.
You didn't give me that mic. I bought that mic.
Okay, fine. Let's move on. Who taught you how to record? Who taught you how to record a podcast?
You told me to buy my Blue Yeti, which I have moved up from.
That's right.
I got a lot of advice from Ben and Rosie from They Walk Among Us. I don't know if you know them, but I'm really, really
I
good friends
actually
with them.
Did a podcast with Ben a couple weeks ago.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
She was so annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was really, really annoying.
I'm sorry, I have another quick question for Nina.
Please.
When you've done podcasts, have you ever been referred to as the drunk lady on the podcast?
Not recently, no.
Okay, thank you.
Keyword recently. Yeah. Let's move on.
Okay. So what got you started doing podcasts?
Well, a couple of things. I have this uncle who is really annoying, but he does this podcast that's kind of funny. And I
fairly
figured...
Fairly successful.
Yeah, and I was like, if he can do it, I mean, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I think the dweebs have motivated a lot of people to do podcasts because they think if those three idiots can do it, anybody could do it. And just so we know, so you guys know the type of podcast we have and the level of professionalism that we rise to record today, my cell phone is taped right up there out, so the speaker is pushing on it. That's how we're recording this today. So, yeah.
But I will say, I stopped by to visit you one day when you were at work and you guys were recording.
You did a couple episodes with us.
And so you were like, hop on. And I did. And it was a lot of fun. And then you did teach me how to record. You taught me all about all the equipment you need and Audacity and all of that. So
you would say, what I hear you saying is, I'm more than a pretty face.
I, you're definitely different.
It would be
from
fair
a pretty
to say
face.
That. Cut her mic, please. So,
no, and then Ben and Rosie really were like, do this podcast, do it. So, yeah. And
so where do you see the podcast heading?
Ideally between that and Debunked, which is hopefully going to be coming out soon, I'd like to do that full time. So.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure having you here.
It's been such a pleasure being interviewed by you. Thank you.
And thank you all of the people that came up here and to all of you who have stayed. Thank you very, very much. And that is it. You guys can go drink to your little heathen soul's content.
Are people getting lunch?
Oh, no, it's Jennifer Riker Smith.
Oh! Say something.
We have to put Jennifer on the podcast.
Oh, wait. Hi, ladies.
Jennifer, we're very sad you're not here, Jennifer.
Say something.
Oh, we missed you, Jeff.
I missed you too. Hey, Karen. Oh, what's up? How are you? Is it the morning? I can't remember. It's good to see you. Is Karen with you?
I know.
Still recording.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.